we're about to do. Come say hello real quick. Kevin Lyles is here for Juan Epstein, but then Russell Simmons is also here at the very same time. So why not? Hey, do you want to do real quick? How about this, Russell? Do an intro for our Kevin Lyles, Juan Epstein. Tell people real quick what we're about to get from what makes Kevin Lyles special and important.
Well, first of all, you know, although the story is not told enough, Kevin Lyles is the reason Def Jam survived. And was the leader, gave us the leadership to not only to keep the company alive, but to build up what really turned into the sale of the company. In other words, the company's worth about $2. Kevin came along. He was an intern. His story is great because I've told it 1,000 times. Kevin Lyles' story is that he was under the intern. In other words, he was a street team nigga. And he was a street team nigga from the very bottom of it, from the bottom. So I started from the bottom. He's under the fucking foot of the street
bottom.
Team leader.
Under the bottom, well.
Right. This nigga was such a servant. And I always say this because I always say this good givers are great getters. Kevin, you know, always would he, like, as a street team guy, he'd get the street team guy's coffee. You understand? And then the leader of the street team, he would make sure they had coffee. And then as a promotion kind of like an underling, like kick around, go get coffee, nigga, he did so much more than getting coffee is a, I'm just saying that because I'm trying to say he did everything everybody needed. And that's what a president does. And then one day he was almost president of Def Jam. And all of the people on top of him called me and said he should be president. He gave him so much direction, support, and advice that they became greater at their jobs. And one day they looked at him, and for leadership, they realized, you know, it clicked in the head. This nigga is giving me so much, I'd rather work for him than him work for me. Mm. So I said, Kevin, you're the president of Def Jam. Nigga said, I don't want to be president. It might upset the company. What the fuck is wrong with you? You're the president, nigga. You're the president. So he was such a servant, and even then came in early and left later. And that's been Kevin's mantra, always do more and be better and keep his head down and not ask for shit.
Yeah.
And always things came because he was such a good giver, he became a great getter. And now his
great
jacket,
givers.
If you look at the little leather.
If you look at the jacket.
The impeccable.
I mean,
you
the
understand? And look at
the pocket, scarf, or whatever you call that thing.
Pocket square.
Everything.
Pocket
just, squares.
You know, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Right. So he just became Kevin Lyles, you know, who is now, you know, iconic.
Who
was
that other? There
and,
was another guy, Kevin Lyles. He was like a fat guy.
He's what happened to the fat guy, Kevin Lyles?
Oh, this nigga here. I think, I don't know. He was the same fat guy. It's one of those another hard work things, I guess.
He's fat enough to get referenced on records for being fat. And now he's thin.
Yeah, no, yeah. That, all that has to do, I think, with work and dedication and evolving and transformation. That's what the nigga does, constantly evolves. And
don't try to start easing
now
us into meditation.
The girls in the next room love Dollhouse, Kev, from Detroit. They got added everywhere, and we haven't gone for ads yet. And they're getting played, and the spins are growing, and they're from Detroit, and they know your artist, Big
Sean.
Are
you trying to get a record deal?
No, stop. I have a record
deal. Get a Big Sean
feature.
Putting
out a record every week. Big Sean.
Big Sean feature.
Spit on their record. Because I don't want other rappers, and the reason I don't want other rappers, because they're not going to look as good next to these sexy, hot bitches as Big Sean will. And Big Sean sat there next to me and said, oh, those are my homegirls. I said, no, nigga, you from Detroit, and they're from Detroit.
Perfect.
And he's going to, first of all, they're all gorgeous. He's going to be trying to hit one of them. He should be thrilled. Because they are the next, like, TLC. There's only but so many TLC and his Destiny's Child and these bitches. That sounds crazy. That's not like a lot.
That's what you're doing.
Sounds like a lot.
Can,
but that's
can
the intention,
Kevin Lyles say no?
Feeling. Yeah, he can say no. First of all, not Kevin Lyles. It's up to Big Sean. That's
right,
what Kevin's going to say anyway. Kevin's not going to say yes, even if he might even say no and Big Sean say, that's okay. No, you don't need to do that.
See, but
Kevin might actually manage the guy. And tell him, but Kevin, when you hear the record and you watch the bitch's video,
but this
then
makes
you'll
me
put
feel,
them on there.
It makes me feel good that in getting a feature, even Russell has to work for it.
Right.
Because I don't ever understand like why I'm going through politics with artists that I'm friends with. I'm like, just say yes. Just say
Or say no.
Kevin and him, rightfully so, have to watch the record blow up. Or they could do like we did and go out on a limb. Either way, this record, ain't no reason you can't rap over impeach the motherfucking president.
It is impeach the president. You heard the record?
I didn't hear it.
It's a smash.
If it's impeached, then I love it.
It's just good singing on impeach the president.
Okay,
it's good.
All right, fine.
So Big Sean will not be whack under no circumstances.
Agreed. So, and if you're whack on impeach the president.
I don't want to take up Kevin's interview, but I do want to say Kevin is. I paid for more than the back of Kimora's earrings.
Okay, all right,
More than the back. She paid for them.
For the front of Kimora's earrings. That's a impressive statement. Russell, part two soon.
I'm a gonna call you a lot about Big Sean.
Sagan, part two of the podcast in a few weeks.
See, Kevin is also very calm. He would say, "I'm gonna call you a lot about Big Sean." Next, I'm good.
I'm good.
You can call me as much as you want.
It may or may not happen.
Oh.
Bye, Russell.
All you want.
Bye, Sagan. Right. We're going to make that happen soon.
Okay.
Yo, shut up, Russell. Just leave.
She told me that.
She said she wasn't giving me any?
She said did you say that?
No. Did she say have a boyfriend or not giving any pussy?
That's two different things. Either way, it's not going to happen.
Have a boyfriend is.
Russell.
She said anything is possible.
All I want is another interview with you. That's all we need. Yo, Kevin Lyles is here on Juan Epstein.
Kevin Lyles.
Yo, this worked out great because we saw Kevin Lyles the other day at Summer Jam.
We did, yep.
And we thought, Sife, we thought we were hustling him to do Juan Epstein.
Right.
Meanwhile, he's hustling a product.
Hustling us.
And we'll get to that in a second. And so he was like, yes, these dudes just came up and asked me to come on. So before we get to your entire history, what is the product?
We have new beverages in 7500 Walgreens. It's 40-40 and Mariah Carey's Butterfly. I wanted to go after the half and half market. Why is Arnold Palmer the face?
Biracial.
No, biracial, I agree.
Why is Arnold Palmer the face of Lemonade and Iced Tea? Why is it not us? And I said, Jay, let me hold a 40-40 brand to go after the Lemonade and Iced Tea space. And Mariah, because of I know what the strategy is around Walgreens and Duane Reade, let's go after the 24-year-old, the 55-year-old female who wants a refreshing taste. So we're in the beverage business now.
So this is the...
No, it doesn't say lemonade iced tea on here anyway.
No, I want to say 40-40.
40-40, you're saying this name is going to replace Arnold Palmer? Is that what we're saying here?
I'm saying 40-40 is going to replace the half and half.
The half minute. You're not even calling him. You won't even let Arnold live, man.
I love Arnold. I would love Arnold. I love him to death. But I think we should have some ownership in the half and half space.
Why?
Because it came from where we from. You know, Lemonade and Iced Tea. It's where we from. Whether it's from the South, Baltimore.
Was that a common? Is that a common Southern drink for real?
Common.
So then why did he get the credit? Right.
I'm not saying why he got the credit. He loves it, and he made a great decision.
He was like, you know what I love? These drinks.
His choice was great.
Well, the crazy thing is,
when did this come about?
Like, it used to just be a nickname for it, and then he did a deal with Arizona, and then him in Arizona, and then they did a deal.
Right, but why was it the nickname?
Right, how did he flip that?
While playing golf or something?
Maybe, I don't know.
Couldn't tell you.
From the South?
I haven't been friends with him for 30 years, like Jay.
So it was easier to make this one out.
So does Jay-Z love iced tea lemonade?
Jay-Z loves 40-40.
Loves. All right, well, listen. They're available right now. They have a weird. What's the scan thing you can do?
Right now, they're available in 7500 Walgreens. We I don't talk. You know, I don't brag about things, but we had an order for 1.5 million bottles, for our first order. I've never been in the beverage business.
Can I crack this bottle?
Crack it.
What do you mean? You think he brought them and we weren't allowed to drink them?
I don't know.
How cheap do you think Kevin Lyles is? So how does this scan go? So there's this.
I'm ready to show you right now. You download the app. So it's two things. This is a 2-for-1: great tasting beverage and also great technology. Download the app.
Whoa.
Place the app. Yes.
Oh, that's pretty good.
All right, so it loads up. It's called Go Inside. That's the app.
Pause.
Yeah.
All right. Scan the bottle. So if you scan the bottle, you have to match that up.
Scan, tap the focus, now pull back.
Now what happens?
What's about to happen if I could scan it, right?
You were so close.
I was very close.
I know. It started scanning. It's all right.
Peach?
It's okay.
Huh?
I have faith.
Peach.
Lemonade
iced tea.
They're different.
Why would I give you the recipe of what's there so you can go make it somewhere else?
Exactly.
I'm not going to do that.
All right.
Yo, this is amazing, Kev.
Oh, so now once you scan, now you can enter sweepstakes. There's a gallery.
Video. So if I go to gallery, it just have different things that happen at 40-40.
Oh, that's pretty dope.
And if I go to...
Does it have me DJing at the playoff games?
It could have you DJing at the playoff games. And if I go to video...
Because I was there.
It has video of things that happen at 40-40.
Well, that's really dope. So this all comes through the Go Inside app, which you can get.
And it's augmented reality. What we did was we partnered with a company called Trigger to actually have the technology added to it. And why shouldn't 40-40 or Jay or Mariah have their own network that they control? ABC controls their network, NBC controls their network, BET, Hot 97 controls their network. Nobody can upload a song to Hot 97 without it being curated. So the same thing with these networks. So we're in the beverage business and we're in the technology business. So
very, very cool. All right, so 40-40, it's at Walgreens.
And it tastes, I'm not bullshitting you.
You know what they should do?
Different type of taste.
You know what they should do? They should probably get in the business of sponsoring a popular podcast. You know what I'm saying? That's what I think. I don't know. Hey, a podcast with 40 or 50,000 listeners a week. That's
how about this? The podcast should actually come from out of the bottle.
Mm.
We should tape the podcast and put it out of the bottle for your own network.
Okay, no bullshit. That is an incredible taste.
I'm not a salesman.
It reminds me. Amazing. It actually takes me somewhere. It takes me to some drink from my childhood. I don't know what it is. I feel like I'm in Israel. I'm 5 years old. I'm on my first trip to Israel. Man. Anyways, Kevin Lyles here. Sif, we always start like this on Juan Epstein. First of all, you should subscribe on iTunes.
Yes. Please.
First of all, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night.
Thank you.
And you should subscribe on iTunes to the Juan Epstein podcast. And you should buy your Juan Epstein t-shirts, which Sif are doing tremendously well.
Listen, we have sold an enormous amount of t-shirts. For the amount of t-shirts we thought we would sell.
Yeah, no, and the amount of work we put in, which is zero, it's going pretty well. So you can go to rosenbergradio.merchdirect.com and you can order your...
Right, and I also have the Cypher Sounds one now, too.
I looked, though. Is it up? I didn't see yours working yet.
Yeah, it's up.
Okay, or Cypher...
It's not working. You see the hate?
No, I tried. I tried today. I wanted to make sure. CypherSounds.merchdirect.com as well. Now, Sif, where does your story with Kevin Lyles begin? The first thing you remember of Kevin Lyles. I'm guessing a fat Kevin Lyles.
Yeah, fat Kevin Lyles.
Definitely.
I don't know the exact genesis, but it had to be... Oh man, I forgot his name.
Ooh.
Who's the promotion guy? The tall black guy.
Wisconsin? Thomas Lattell?
No. I used to work at Dev Jam. Now works.
Mike Kaiser?
Kaiser.
Oh, jeez.
I love it. No, no.
Definitely before that.
By the way, I couldn't respect anything more than you forgetting Kaiser's name. He deserves that. He deserves a good forgetting every once in a while.
I love it.
He would call him a piece of shit.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So Kaiser used to come up here. This is when I was first with Flex. I feel like you have something directly involved with the Month of the Man campaign.
Yeah.
Well, let's.
I think that's where something with the Red and Meth double vinyl,
the cassette, the cassette single A side B side.
Yes.
So Method Man first signing to Def Jam, Red Man already being there. Sticking them together, Month of the Man.
Is that true? Is that one of the first things you did at Def Jam?
No, that I remember.
No, you remember. That he would probably remember. Yeah. I think Russell said it best. I'm the guy. I don't want credit. I just want to do the work. I want to build a legacy. And you know, when I'm not here,
but how do you build a legacy without the credit?
Because you talk about it. You know, when I'm gone. You know, you talk about it. It legacy becomes. You know, you don't realize how great Martin Luther King was. Or how great Mandela was, or how great Abraham Lincoln was as a president, because they interact. When you act as an angel, people don't see you as an angel. They don't see you as
after.
And what happens? It's a funny thing. In Baltimore, you know, I have a street named after me, and
where is the street named after you?
Where I grew up.
Where I'm from Maryland. I'm from
Pressman Street.
Right near what? Like how?
North Avenue.
Give me in relation, since I'm white and from D.C., okay. In relation to Camden Yards.
Okay. In relation to Camden Yards.
Which is why, Sif, that's the only reason.
Okay. 20 minutes from Camden Yards, more on the west side.
Okay. On the west side of Baltimore.
The west side of Baltimore. North Avenue, and the iconic place is Enid Pratt Library.
Okay. What's the street called?
Kevin Lyles Drive.
Wow.
It used to be called Pressman Street, but my grandmother... But my family still lives there. But the reality of it was the president of the city council and the mayor at that time said, why wouldn't we do something while you're here? And it became a symbol of hope for that next kid that's on a street corner. Mm. He wants to ask, you know, how can I get a street named after me? Well, if you look how you get a street named after you, you have to look at the legacy that I kind of provided, you know, and they did it while I'm here. So I challenge people every day is don't think about things when people are gone. You know, really realize the angels that are here every single day. And, you know, I buried my mentor, Wes Johnson, Wes Party Johnson. He's a guy who taught me promotion 2 weeks ago.
Oh, sorry.
And to sit and see the things that we're doing and see what he did in his life.
Where did he do promo?
Started in Baltimore. You know, he was on radio. He was the guy that everybody told, we play more music and no rap. And he said, fuck that. You know, you're going to play rap music. Then we gave you a mix show.
But that was the saying of the radio station?
Yeah.
We play more music.
You guys are young. So you guys, they said, we play more music and no rap. That was every radio station. And
now, that's what Black Radio was saying.
That's what Black Radio was saying.
And telling the adults, don't worry, we don't want to play the bullshit your kids want to.
We're not playing none of that. We play more music and no rap. And now we're the stations say we're the station for hip-hop and R&B.
Yeah.
So at the end of the
day. No, let's be clear. Mm-hmm. Your buddies down the street at Power 105 say R&B and only the best hip-hop. So they're still doing it. Okay. Just to be clear, there are people who still don't want to fully claim hip-hop.
Listen,
Clear Channel, but go ahead.
Listen, at the end of the day, people will always challenge our culture. We have to be great soldiers. We have to be great leaders. We have to know when to pull our pants up a little bit. We have to know when to put on suit jackets.
Absolutely.
We have to know when that this is, has become a business, not just a street art. So at the end of the day, I take on the challenges because prior to us, similar to civil rights, similar to the plight of your people, mm-hmm. the plight of Jewish
douchebags. Oh, Jewish.
No, Saif, I'm in multiple categories.
I didn't know there was a,
Jewish and douchebag. The plight of douchebags is a different story. No, it's a different story.
We all have struggles, and even the plight of raising enough capital to have your own beverage company, raise enough capital to start a content company 300 that Leo and Todd and I have started around a new entertainment
Leo
model.
Leo and who?
Leo Cohen and Todd Moskowitz.
Oh, you and you. I start
Let me tell you. Kevin Lyle's in with the Jews on a different level. Jews love Lyle.
So, you know what's better than having one Jewish partner?
Two. I know. You need to up
two
your
Jew.
You need to up your Jew game. So
I love my family.
So real quick, so where let's start. Where does the Kevin Lyle's music story begin? In Baltimore, I'm guessing.
In Baltimore, I used to DJ. It was we had a group called the Newmarks. The Newmarks we used to do. We started.
But do you know what he wrote, right?
What he wrote? I forget. I know it's something massive.
Okay.
But we'll get there, right?
We're gonna get there.
I forget.
It's pretty soon.
It's early, right?
Yeah.
I know it's something crazy, but I forget. All right.
So
you were the DJ for the Newmarks?
No, we all DJed.
Oh, you were all DJs.
Yeah. So we used to have a radio show on WEBB back at that time, a long time ago, and we.
What was your DJ name?
Come on,
KG, Crime Genius. They called me
with a K though. Crime Genius with a K. So you know it's real.
Right. So we used to DJ 10 turntables, and then we started making records.
Sorry.
10 turntables?
What do you mean 10 turntables?
It was 5 DJs?
So it was 5 DJ crew? And y'all would come out with 10 turntables?
10 turntables.
That is an elaborate setup.
We were the ultimate DJ battle team.
Wow. Yeah. I'll say. So. And the ultimate sound man's nightmare.
Oh, absolutely. But we battled all across the states and the Mid-Atlantic.
What mixture were you using back then?
Newmarks.
Just
the group was called Newmarks.
And it was the beginning. It had to be early.
The PS4s, I think, PS12s, whatever they were called back then.
Wow. Okay.
So,
that's crazy.
So then we started rapping, and myself and a guy named Rod became the rappers, and we did an album, and on that album was a record called Girl, You Know It's True. Mm. And this was back in...
There it was.
And there it was. '86, and somebody stole the record, and I was, 17. I had to sue and get my rights back, and, millionly sold 18 million copies of a record that I sold 100,000 copies of.
100,000 ain't bad.
That 100,000 ain't... How'd you guys sell 100,000?
We were signed to an independent company that stole our rights, but eventually had to give them back. And they had distribution throughout the Mid-Atlantic.
And it started getting play on, like, ERQ and...
Started getting play on... Back then it was V103.
It was V103.
Back then, and...
Did DC show love, too?
DC showed love. Wes Johnson, my mentor, actually played my record. And it was one of the ways...
What station was he on?
At then, it was on another radio station in WOL or something like this.
Oh, he was in DC?
In DC, yeah.
Oh, he was on 1450?
Yeah, I don't know what that.
Yeah, WOL back in the day.
Back in the day, and then
it's where Conan eventually was. I'm sure you know Conan.
Know him very well. I was just with him. And eventually it turned into a big thing for us. I toured. I actually, the funny story is, before working for Def Jam, I opened up for LL Cool J. I opened up for Run DMC as an artist.
Wow.
And we had a club called 4604. People started shooting outside. LL and I said, LL, we not worried about none of that. He said, Kev, I'm from Queens. You from Baltimore. It's all good. There's no issue.
So you remember, so you met those guys back. You met Russell back then too or no?
Absolutely. I knew everybody when I was 17. And this is why, full circle, when it kind of, I remember, I gave, when Run became a minister, I gave Run a Bible. I remember this perfect moment. I was taking him around promotions down with the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
And I was taking him around a promotion and I gave him a Bible. He said, Kev, you losing a gold rope suit. I said, no, I'm not losing the gold rope. So we came up. But I wanted to let you know that in replace of what I saw you and I came up with you on, I want to give you a Bible because I'm a spiritual person, too. So I've been there from, you know, like I said, 16. It's 30 years.
Did you get your money back from Girl You Know It's True?
Sued. It got everything.
How much did you get for that? You got a lot. Like, are you still sitting on some Girl You Know It's True
well,
money?
I still get royalty checks. I
who
can
the,
just say that.
Who the fuck plays that record, yo? Who's
all
playing
around
that
the world.
Every time I'm out.
All around the world. All around the world.
Still, people play it ironically.
To this day, I'm telling you guys, I still get royalty checks from Girl You Know.
What was your last royalty check?
How much was it?
Yeah.
$2,400.
That's not bad. Man. That's not bad. How much was yours?
My last Nina Sky check was.
Move Your Body. How was that one? 48 cents?
No, about $480.
That's not bad. I'll take that too. Guys,
it comes out of nowhere.
It's a bill.
you guys jacked that rhythm though, right?
We interpreted it.
but there's a real rhythm that people
act. There's six writers when it comes to that song.
Because at the PR Day parade the other day, a float came by playing that beat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's Cypher's beat. And I'm like, that's not Cypher.
Oh, no. The reggae rhythm part, that was a reggae track.
Okay, so you eventually get that money.
Wait, but I'm sorry, you didn't write the song for them. Someone jacked you.
No, I actually did the song. There's a version, if you take a look, there's a version that Newmark's did, that I rapped the whole record.
No, I know, but you didn't write it for Milli Vanilli.
No, they stole it.
No, I put the record out. It was a Newmark's record.
So it was out there.
So they literally stole everything.
Was it the same label you were signed to?
No.
Or another label? How could they just jack it?
Well, they asked my label. Well, I signed my rights over
to
my label. And
they bought it from your label.
And they bought
that
the song.
You.
And you can remake any song as long as you clear the rights.
Yeah.
So they played the rights. We were in Germany, Australia, Switzerland, and London. And
wow,
we
Studio Records. This isn't the highest quality. I apologize. You have the 12 inch.
A guy named Bill Pettaway.
Who's that?
Honestly, no, it's me.
What are you talking about? Yo, you sound like them. Is this the record's not that different?
No, all they did was added the a breakbeat under it, right. And we have a version like that also. So it was they just jacked it, and it's cool. You know, I think at that moment, I realized that somebody could do a song better than me, so they should do the song. You know, you got to know to play your position too. Mm-hmm. I wasn't obviously meant to be an artist. I was obviously meant to be behind the scenes,
right,
and be in the business of music, not just the music business.
So then what happens for you after that?
Well, I actually did 5 or 6 records after that.
With the Newmarks?
Yes, with the Newmarks. Okay. And I wrote a Baltimore anthem called North Avenue. That we did back then. And then I started to put out my own records. And that's when I started to think about the business of music and wanted to know how to distribute your own product. What consign back in the day was called consignment,
mm-hmm.
you know, back then. And, you know, started to learn the business side of it and said, you know, was in school for engineering at Morgan State with Nassau. And said, let me take my business acumen, let me take the way I look at things and put it into the music
business. Where'd you get that business sense from? Parents or?
A lot of it probably came from my parents, but, you know, and this is what I tell young kids. When I was in high school, I really was high. And not high in the sense of drugs, but high in the sense of life. I felt like everything was supposed to happen for me. You know, it was all state in football and everything. And
position?
Quarterback. You know, wow. And then I fell in love with hip hop. And when you get high off of something, and when it becomes your passion, when you're willing to do it without it, no matter if you got paid or not, you should find out how to monetize that. So I said I would need to intern somewhere. And again, this is after all the things that I've been through, and I'm opening up for all the big acts and everything. I wanted to go back in, press reset on my life, and learn the business of it. Not just the art of it, but learn the business of it. And so I said, let me intern.
So where'd you intern?
Def Jam.
That's it. First job. The first internship was Def Jam.
First internship that I – well, first internship was with NASA for engineering. But the first entertainment internship was with Def Jam.
What year?
91.
And in Baltimore?
In Baltimore.
You so interned
– for Def Jam
but
in
what,
Baltimore.
What, there was an office
the
there?
Promo?
A promo. I was the Mid-Atlantic – well, I didn't have a title. I was an intern. But I interned for a guy named Kevin Mitchell – for the Mid-Atlantic region of Def Jam Records.
The street team or the promotion.
Promotion. Now, and the funny story is Kevin was from Boston. So when the job opened up, he came to Baltimore and they told him I was his intern. And he didn't know me, I didn't know him. But he couldn't get into the radio station that my man was on, Frank Ski, at that time. Mm. So I called
Frank Ski.
I called Frank and said, yo, my man is coming there. And so that was the time. And Kevin Mitchell, to this day, I always give praise to him. On a conference call, he said, my intern is the best promotion person that we've ever seen. And from that, from 91, 93, it took me 2 years to get hired. 93, I got hired. And
they hired you first locally or?
Locally. Yep.
So then you started doing?
The Mid-Atlantic. He moved up to national, and I became the Mid-Atlantic regional manager.
And then
it was an office?
No office. Well, because we were signed to Sony back then, I would go to the Sony office in Greenbelt, Maryland, but really
I was about
the
to
office
say,
was your house.
I was about to say, that's funny because when by the time I got to college and started getting promo from the Mid-Atlantic Def Jam guys, and that's 97, you're already gone. You're already off to New York, right?
Yep.
But in 97, there was like, it was like, yeah, that Sony PolyGram building. There was a building in...
It was a Sony building.
In Greenbelt that I would go pick up records from.
Yes, absolutely.
There was an actual office
there. I don't think that was that funny.
It wasn't... What I said was funny?
You said, that's funny.
Wrong word choice. Sorry, Sy. So, what year do you go to New York?
Probably about 90...
Well, what records were you working, like...
91, 93?
The first records that I was a... independent promoter per se before when I was interning. So I remember working Gangsta B. What was that?
Apache.
Tommy Boy. I remember doing that. I remember doing Trends of Culture off and on.
It has nothing to do with Def Jam.
Had nothing to do with
Def Jam. So you also started doing indie.
I was an independent promoter. People came to the Mid-Atlantic region and wanted to get their records.
And would you bring records to the DJs all over the Mid-Atlantic, all over Maryland and D.C.?
All over Maryland, D.C., Virginia.
You go to PGC, KISS, College Radio.
Okay. If you talk to Al B. D.
Yo, if you're just listening, he gave Rosenberg just a face like right now. Like, you ignorant idiot.
You're very clear. The Buddha Brothers, in Norfolk.
Law?
DJ Law? DJ Law, yeah. Rest in peace. Kobe Cobb show, Radioactive, I think it was called back then, to Mac James. You don't even know who I'm talking about, but Mac James was the original 6 to 8 host for WEBB back in the day for Mick Show. I mean, these are all guys that, you understand, a lot of guys were interns when I was running, a $400 million company, Def Jam. You know what I mean? It's like...
This is crazy. So this is also probably when Tigger was interning for Al B. D.
It was right across... If you call Tigger right now, he would say, Kevin Lyles, help raise me. He would tell you that.
Well, let's call him right now. Let's call him and ask. Let's call him and ask him right now.
Call him. That's
I want to say... I'm going to ask the question. Mm-hmm. Would you say Kevin Lyles helped raise you?
Yes. You should ask him that.
We're going to ask him this right now. Okay. Wait, so this is... Would you also hit things like WEAA, Morgan State...
Did I hit WEAA?
You live there. You were there every Friday.
I went to Morgan State.
You went to Morgan State?
Yes. So I was actually on a station. You got to realize when you live this life, you got to live this life. It's no question. So I knew my roots are from being a DJ. My roots are from being a promo person. So
did you DJ at Morgan State? Did you do college radio too or no?
No.
You were just
doing
parties and whatnot and stuff like that.
At that time I was, I don't want to brag a little bit, but I was kind of like a star.
You were killing it in Baltimore.
I was kind of like a star, a little bit more than Baltimore. But
More than Baltimore?
Don't limit me there. You know, I was Philadelphia, Virginia, D.C.
Whoa, the whole.
Yeah, the whole
and what, just doing gigs all over the place?
Gigs all over the place. Let me.
By the way, Tigger's phone's being weird, so we're going to wait on that one.
Okay, so I'll tell you the story. I opened up, it was for LL Cool J at a skating rink called 4604. 4,000 people. I opened up for Run DMC at the Baltimore Arena. You know what I mean? So I'm playing in front of 14,000 people. And I opened up for Salt and Pepper at, I forgot the club. It was about 1,000 people when they had I'll Take Your Man back then. So, again, every aspect of the business.
You were in it.
I've done. So I could relate to a morning show. I could relate to an artist. I could relate to a producer. We had two studios, made records. My first beat machine was the Boss. What was the little silver one, whatever it was.
Yeah, and then a little tiny screen, right?
And then I graduated to the SB1200, then the SP950, then I think. What was it?
MPC?
MPC. That was my... And I used to have... When I was in it like that, I used to have turntables in my office as the president of the company. Mm.
You know? Always. Oh, I remember that.
I think you told me that before.
Always. Because so, I've seen him move a few offices. There was always turntables set up.
No matter what. You
know, That was my thing. And even to the day, I still can DJ, but I just don't do it. And I'll say this to you. There comes a time where you have to nurture a way. Find a way, first off, nurture a way, and then know how to get out of the way for the next generation. And so what I did, although I'm still in it, I just want to do beverages now. I want to do big deals that's not just pertaining to culture, but pertaining to big business to hopefully stay out of the way for the next generation of people coming to help push me, allow me to be in the VIP section, but at the same time push me to be greater so I can give them more access and opportunity.
Do you still have your record collection in full?
No.
What happened to it? Why?
Couple of things. Number one, I did not understand the value of what I was doing at the time I was doing it. You know, number one. Number two, my mother would say, "Why the hell these records are in my basement?"
You know what? That's why my white privilege was such a benefit. Because my mom said that my whole life. You know what I said?
What?
Shut up, bitch! They're my fucking records. And my mom, to this day, God bless her. I have like half in storage and half is still in my bedroom. And when my brother's kids sleep in the house, they sleep with 7,000 records around them. And one day, Mom, I'm going to get a house and I'm going to take all my records. But
how many records do you have, really, honestly? How many?
I would say I have it for 12 inches and LPs, in the 10 to 14,000, probably something like that.
Okay.
Probably a little short of this guy. And then I have around 1,100, 45. No, I think I'm short of you.
That's what I'm saying. I have more.
Yeah. I think you probably in the 15 to 20,000 range.
Think so?
Something like that. So you feel good about that. You had a little swag about it. Yeah.
Remember, we were five DJs. So.
Someone has some records still.
So probably about 8 years ago, they called and said, "Kev, we need to get a storage, you know, place. Let's
who,
all spin
Who
it.
Called?
My crew.
The crew. The crew. You're still called. Cool with
still
the crew.
Still cool with them. The new marks.
Okay, one of them is a renowned house DJ you know, around the world, and everybody else. You know, the funny thing is, one is a paramedic, one became a graphic designer, one is a fireman, and what's it, 1, 2, 3? Yeah, and I'm who I am.
And you're all homies still.
Listen, when you go through war, and you don't still have your homies. I mean, these are guys who knew me when, you know what I mean? So I never leave them. If I don't talk, even if I don't talk to you, if you went through war with me, it's nothing I could ever
say. Did you guys go in on a storage unit?
Yeah. All of it. We went on storage, and they, I mean, I say they, but.
Come on, just pay for the storage unit.
No, no.
You got it.
Listen, yes, we could do it.
You're like, all right, you send 200.
No, by the way, 200. It was always like, here's the thing. Even when we wrote records, whoever was in the room, whether you said something or not, your name was there. Mm. It was about family. It wasn't about like credit. That's what I'm trying to tell you guys. Like me, you know, when you're together, you win together. You know what I mean? And that's what it was. We were just always together. And so we all did different things, but there's always something that we shared that nobody else can say
right, that
they shared. And so, yes, we have a storage unit right now, probably.
Hey, what do you think's in there, you know?
I don't know, 30.
30,000?
Yeah.
Nice. Probably
30. Wow. And again, I don't keep up with it. That's not what I do now, but, you know, we got some stuff there.
Like, I bet you do.
There's some stuff there.
Considering you were doing promo in 91, so, like, the level of promos you were already getting very early is tremendous.
I got some stuff. You know, remember the Houdini Green vinyl?
No. You're predating this.
You're predating this. Wow.
What do they do Green Vinyl of?
Houdini?
No, yeah. I know the group.
What song? We're familiar with them.
You know, I'm a hoe. It was a whole album, though.
Oh, a whole album in green? Oh, yes.
Okay, come on. You
is the album cover blue?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
I have that. I have
yes,
that. Yeah.
Yo, this was, yeah, I mean, again, I like think about some iconic labels. You know, think about when you got the Sugar Hill, you know, records, you know what I mean? And that, and I don't want to date myself like that. But
you already
but
did.
Shut up. As a DJ, and I don't mean shut up in
that. It's okay. It's quite all right. It wasn't a thing.
As a DJ, you appreciate that label that turned around. You know, you used to put the tape on the label because we wanted to backspin.
Yeah, of course. Like
You appreciate the labels, and to see the creation of the Tone On with Def Jam, and you know the Bad Boy, and even to the Cash Money and early and Master P's and all those different labels that came out. You know, we started labels were cultural and not just machines or distribution companies.
Yeah, you were involved in some good ones too. Remember Rockefeller? That was a good one.
Listen, all I can tell you is, and I want to say big shout out to all those people that went through war with me then too, Irv, Dame, Biggs.
Oh, yeah, Murder, Inc. That was a good one.
Yeah.
They had a good label.
You know, Rough Riders.
Rough Riders.
Disturbing the Peace. You know,
TTP. Good one.
With them.
Well, hold on. We're going to get there, though. Okay. So you go to New York.
We're not going
to
get there.
We have to try. We got to start moving a little bit.
Yeah, you got to move. We're still in this guy's.
I know. We're still in
Baltimore. Pampers, this guy. Exactly. This guy's in Pampers, though.
So you go to New York. They give you, what's the first job they give you in New York?
Coffee maker.
So you come up and start doing, like Wait, Russell
you
was were, saying.
You had a job in Baltimore.
Yeah, I had a job.
And then you come up to New York and you get sliced down?
No, I didn't get sliced down, but I wasn't from New York.
Damn.
You know, and at the end of the day, I don't mind starting from the bottom. And by the way, that's why nobody could ever tell me anything about the company. You know, what time the janitor turned the lights on, what time the intern, the assistant got there.
You were there.
I knew everything. So I knew everything about the building. So it wasn't nothing.
So you start helping.
What building is this?
This is back
before Varick.
Before Varick, it was Elizabeth Street.
Oh, okay.
So you're doing everything. Mm-hmm. You're doing grunt work, mm-hmm. And
Bobbito around.
Bobbito was the national director of college promo and mix show. Yes, love him to death.
And so, who eventually gave you your break to move up the ladder?
Wes Johnson and Leor Cohen.
They spotted you.
Yeah, I remember Wes brought me into Leor, and it's because the market was doing so great. Kevin Mitchell got moved up to Bobbito's position. Bobbito got moved up. And I still had to interview for the job. Even though I was interning for 2 years, I had to interview for the job. And 3 months later, they called me back. I remember Julie Greenwald was Wes Johnson's assistant at that time.
Damn.
She had graduated from being Lear's assistant to Wes's assistant. And she called me and she said, Kevin, we want to offer you the job. You know, you can for $30,000. And I said, I can work with you off of that. She said, no, you'll work for us for that. I remember that exact moment. And I said, cool, whatever it meant. Yeah. And, you know, 6 years later, I think whatever it was, they asked me to be president of the company.
6 years later.
That's a good 6 year. You know, Saif, I've been here now 7 years.
Yeah.
No one has asked me to be president of the
country. Well, I've been here about 17, and I've actually gone down.
No, it's an interesting point.
It's going the wrong way.
No, Saif, you went so high that you started rotating back around.
I've been to the mountaintop, and I'm like, well, what's on the other side? Oh, the same shit work is going on.
I like the
up.
Mountaintop. I'm going to go down the mountain. I'm going to go back down. So you start getting in there. This is 93, 94. We're talking about Golden Age Def Jam era, really. I mean, 91 was the 92 was the beginning of Redman.
Yes.
Boss.
Yeah. EPMD. Onyx.
Just an endless run here. LL still killing it.
All I tell people, I've lived the one of the first records. I've worked Public Enemy. So if you could, when he got Game. You know, I mean, I don't even remember what year.
97, you know, 98.
That was. I've worked early, when we did Onyx, that was, JMSJ had a record called JMJ Records.
Of course.
And go back to even
Don't forget
Slick
the
Rick,
family.
The family. Listen,
Family.
That's right.
I did the Slick Rick record when he was still
Locked up. It's a boy?
Behind bars.
Oh, my. Oh.
Woo, behind bars. Talk about it.
Yeah, no.
Behind bars is amazing. I'm a fan of Behind Bars, the remix, and Sitting in My Car was from then, too.
Yes. All I'm telling you, and one of the records, I remember we were in Norfolk, Virginia, and LL had dropped Boomin' System.
Yeah, that record sucks.
Okay.
Not a fan?
Kidding.
Okay, good. Just making sure, Si, if you have some weird random ones that you just decide you hate.
You know, so you talking about historically, and I remember, and bless his soul, Chris Lighty, when we did what was the record called? Baby, that was early on.
Pink
Doing
Cookie?
It.
Oh, Doing It.
Doing It was big.
Doing It. Yeah, I just remember, like, moments in my life, like, you know, that you have to celebrate. And they you know, records make moments. You know what I mean? I was the moment that made the records.
Right.
You know what I mean? So right. It's like,
crazy.
It was,
that's awesome.
I can't even.
So I can't imagine, like, when songs connote a certain thing to me when I hear them, I can't imagine if I was the person who'd been pushing to make that record happen.
Yeah.
So when you hear Doing It to this day, it still has to be a different feeling than for anyone else.
You're moseying along, driving along, you're listening to old school or satellite radio, mm-hmm. Doing It comes on. Instant memories of
Sean.
That moment in life.
Every single
conversations
thing,
with Lighty and LL and
everything.
Video production.
Everything
video.
About it. When I
it hits you.
When I tell you, even when Onyx did Slam, I remember Russell saying, look, nobody ever believed Beastie Boys. Nobody ever believed we would be able to do that, so don't take no for an answer. Mm. And, you know, Sticky, I hate your guts, then hope to die. Come on, those moments you sit and I mean, honest, those guys were one of the reasons why I became, you know, president of the company, because they just felt like I never took no for an answer. And, you know we created, Kaz became the director of crossover promotion at that time, the tall black guy going into a white radio trying to figure out how to get rap music played. And it's just a blessing, man. I remember every single moment, and I don't take it for granted.
So what the month of the man? Mm-hmm. Tell us about the month of the man.
You had Redman and Method Man, and both of them got high, and their commonality was
these friends before
friends. I don't
friendly
say friendly. Friendly, you know what I mean? That was Def Squad and it was Wu-Tang.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know, we felt, and I remember, you know, Lior and Julie and all of us sitting around talking about, they did the record How High. And from the soundtrack,
they had already done How High.
Remember the soundtrack was called The Show.
Mm-hmm.
So they had How High, we did that, and...
By the way, Syfe, the original version of How High, thoughts?
I actually like it.
I thought I remembered you actually liked
the original. Because Doo-Wop used to play that in the tunnel.
He played the original?
Always the original, never the remix.
Did anyone tell him that wasn't the version to play?
No, people liked it.
They did?
Yeah, it's like some street, it was a more street version.
Yes,
it is the more street version.
The remix is way better song. Mm-hmm.
But like, no, never you hear the beginning, you know, it's taking it from the top. Hell yeah, we taking it from the top. Oh, my people. And then when you hear the other one, the wrong one coming, you're like, what do you do?
Boom, boom, bang.
Instead of fly. So they did that record. That was just a record that came about for a soundtrack with two of your artists. You thought you guys did the whole soundtrack.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
By the way, there's some other gems on there, mm-hmm. which we mentioned. My Block, the Tupac record, was a really great record.
Yep.
Did he do that record for you guys?
You think so?
No.
Is that a loved record?
I'm just saying. You're saying there's like this other gems on there. We know this.
I didn't know if people love My Block. Did he do that record specifically for the soundtrack?
No.
He had that. And you guys got it from him.
Yes. A lot of those records, again, we were not trying to create a Crush Groove moment, but we wanted to celebrate where hip hop was, and you know what better way than to say The Show. You know, this is Biggie and Mary had a record there.
Every Day It Rains.
Every day.
Dare I say The Show, the movie, is underrated as well?
Most movies about hip hop culture have been underrated until they become classics. Until people go, oh, you remember that.
Year was The Show? Do you remember? Was it 95 or something?
Man,
because they should do a 20-year anniversary. They should do a big 20-year and make that a moment.
You know I never saw The Show?
You never saw The Show?
Never saw The Show. Hey, you know what else I never saw?
What?
Backstage.
Wow.
I know, it's weird.
Okay, if you had to tell them to choose one between Backstage or The Show, what would you say to see?
Always start with The Show.
Yeah. I just know Backstage is that you got screamed on or something, right?
Yeah.
People always talk about that?
Yeah, people always.
No, he didn't get screamed on the way Clue got screamed on.
Listen.
Clue gets different.
Yeah, Clue gets bodied out.
Dude, yeah, Clue is.
Listen, one of the things, you know, everybody signs off for what everybody see, and you can't put it in people's likeness. We wanted to give, in backstage, we wanted to give a true sense of what really happened backstage. You know, so at the end of the day, we all agreed that that was a moment in time. It wasn't about jackets, and it wasn't about Rockefeller or Def Jam. It was about what happened backstage.
Who screamed on you in the movie?
Dame
screams on everyone in the movie.
I don't think it was screamed on. Here's what I say.
I actually agree with his point. Mm-hmm. He just goes about it the wrong way.
Wait, how do you know?
Saw that part.
You saw that part? What's the fight about?
It's a Rockefeller Rough Rider tour, but the jacket said Def Jam and not Rockefeller, something like that.
Got it. That sounds like something Dan would scream about. Okay.
I want to spend one moment on it because he said he understands the point. So we created a platform for labels to partner with us, Ventures. And so in celebration of it, let me tell you the tour.
A sip of this 40-40. Okay.
It's delicious. The 40-40. Mine's almost gone. It's delicious.
The tour was Jay-Z, DMX, Redman, and Method Man. Where are all those guys signed to?
Def Jam.
Okay. So in celebration and not to take away from Red and Meth, who were direct Def Jam artists, my thought was to recreate the exclusive Def Jam jacket.
Classic.
Classic Def Jam. We never sold Def Jam jackets.
I know.
We only gave them out to recreate one for
two. Do you ever get one, Syfe?
Mm-hmm. I have a few.
Of course.
Yeah. A few. Mm-hmm.
Recreate the jacket for the tour. So all we wanted to do was celebrate the moment for, this is back when we did the Fresh Fest, which we had, or the Screaming, whatever that tour was called back then. We had all our acts on it. It was the same kind of sentiment, let's do. And even though Run DMC was signed to Profile, what jackets did they wear?
Def Jam.
Okay, so this was a commemorative moment that we wanted everybody to say. So whether you had your own, you're always welcome to make your own jackets, but
the Def Jam jacket is going to say Def Jam.
And by the way, at the end of the day, people appreciated it. People loved it. And even to this day, you know, I love Dame. I love Biggs. And, you know, Jay and I, of course, are great friends. And I want to make sure that the legacy of Rockefeller, Rock Nation, continues to live on, because I'm inspired by it. And I was there from the beginning.
If anyone wants to be anything embarrassed about anything in the movie backstage, it should be Jay-Z at the size of the football jerseys he's wearing. And basketball. He looks friggin' nuts in some of those. So Month of the Man pops off. What did you ultimately decide to do? You did the double 12-inch. Was that your idea?
I don't want to, again.
The team. What do you take credit for, though?
I would take credit.
Was there any part of that? Let's just use that campaign as an example. Mm-hmm. Any part of it that was your idea?
Selfish.
You don't even want to.
No, you don't play team ball, and you win a championship. The team won the championship.
There's no I in championship or something like that, right?
There is an I in championship, actually. Yeah, it doesn't work.
In team.
In team. That's what it was. Now, Russell's been gone now for at least a half an hour.
Yes.
Let's start talking shit. I think it's really time to start digging on this guy. Who was the, of all those guys, you worked with a lot of personalities, mm-hmm. and that's putting it mildly. Irv, who to this day is the loudest guest in the history of Juan Epstein. Mm-hmm. He told his story and it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. You have Dame, mm-hmm. Hove, mm-hmm. Russell, DMX. DMX.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was just thinking behind the scenes at first.
DNY from Rough Riders.
DNY, Kaiser, all these huge personalities in their own right. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying this in a negative way at all, but who was the hardest for you to get along with? And not because they're a bad person, but just because it was you guys didn't mesh easily. It took some time to work on.
What's crazy when you I'm a service guy, you know what I mean? What people seem to be hard, you got to understand, I grew up with a rusted spoon in my mouth. Where I grew up, there was a drug corner, a liquor store, you know, the church in my mom's house. So nobody could ever put me in a space. And then when I gave my life over to God, it's like, it's nothing. Think about the people who dogs would be put on them. Think about people who hoses be put on them. Think about people who lived through the Holocaust. what really can you?
And I guess it's hard to complain about.
I don't like how you guys
arguing
keep
with Irv Gotti.
I don't like how you guys keep relating on like
Jewish stuff.
Yeah, Jewish and black.
You throwing a Puerto Rican?
Hey, yeah.
Thing?
What about us, man? What about Puerto Ricans from the Bronx?
Were there any important Puerto Ricans at Def Jam? Good question, Saif.
Babito.
Yeah, he wasn't around for that long.
No. Babito is legendary. He has and his name on the wall.
Important Puerto Ricans at Def. That's a great question.
What's Pecos?
He's Puerto Rican, but he wasn't there back then.
No, he came in late. Damn. So are you saying Def Jam's racist? Is that what we're establishing here?
Now that I'm
it was a Jew, black,
Spanish
collab.
Artist? Any Latino artists on Def
Jam?
Well,
what about Def Jam reggaeton?
Yeah, honestly.
Saif, that was a great moment. Oh, that was Rockefeller, right?
Yeah,
No.
What?
No, we had, what was the kid's name?
What was his name? Come on.
I'm sure it was, do you know what it is?
I don't know.
No, you really don't know.
Nori.
No, Nori.
Nori. Good example.
Nori.
Oh, Nori.
Nori.
They had Nori.
Yeah, I remember I did that record. For real record.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
That was a moment.
Nothing was big.
That's a moment that I have for that record.
You know what I got to tell you real quick? I saw Pharrell play last week at where did I see him play?
Apollo.
The Apollo. Mm-hmm. That's right. And he does all his collaborations. Mm-hmm. And he did the obligatory pass the Kvarca and brought out Busta.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen that so many times. And I love the song Love Busta. I have to say, I was like, I'd actually get a bigger pop if he brought out Nori and did nothing. I thought right. That would have been amazing.
All of them are amazing. You
he
gotta,
has so many.
You know, the drug and the nothing record was
the whole beat's infectious, though. It never, you could just listen to the instrumental.
And Saif would remember this, and I remember back when the tunnel was here.
Were you in the tunnel on the reg? Were you just there?
I was the R in the reg.
You were in, he was in there.
So
handing records too? With records
big
too?
Big Cap. We remember Big Cap was always played before.
Oh, yeah, you were tight with Cap.
What?
That's how I met you.
I.
Big Cap was
sorry,
going
you
for Flex. It's actually how Flex and I met. You know, I always claim stake in DJ Enough and Big Cap.
He gets credit. He's taking credit for something.
No, I claim stake, meaning in our relationship.
Oh, okay. Damn it.
You know, those guys supported me in a way. I mean, when we did the Def College Jam. I took them on the road. So I showed them different things, and they gave me New York in a way. And I remember every time I walked in the tunnel, gave Cap Records, whatever, Cap would shout me out the whole thing. And Flex was like, yo, you keep shouting out this kid, Kevin Lyles. You know. And then Flex and I became the best of friends. And every person that ever played the tunnel, you know, knew that if we were coming, if I was there, we were going to play a mm-hmm. new record or something. And I remember the first time we played Redman and what was the record? Redman and K Solo. What was the record called?
That's how it is.
That's how.
I can't imagine how much Flex must have lost tunnel, when he first heard that.
In the tunnel, people lost their mind. And this is again. It was you in the moment. You heard. You loved the record, even as a DJ. But making the moment, what that took, it's just special, man. So.
Do you remember that with That's How It Is, there were two versions of it?
Of course.
Wow. What the hell was up with that? Why did you do two versions? It was weird.
No, it was not what that we. One was legal reason because clearances and things like that. And the other one was some people wanted one thing and other people wanted one. So we said make two versions.
Reggie had one of the more disrespectful lines on that song when he said, make your girl suck out the shit that I pissed through. That's disrespect.
Yeah, this is other interviews.
You're already making a girl. You're already making someone's girlfriend suck your dick. But at the very least, you have to call it the shit that you pissed through. Who was your favorite? Do you have anyone who, if you just, and I know Seth, you got to wrap this up, but is there any one artist that you say you from the Def Jam era you had the strongest kinship with?
What I mean,
like from the time you were there, is there one artist?
Time was there?
Yeah.
You see, this is when it gets. I've been through people having their first child, buying their mothers their first house, getting married, walking people they didn't have a father in life, being given them away.
Who did you walk down the aisle?
He walked Redman. Redman down the aisle. He walked. You know, he gave Redman away.
No,
fact.
Here's what I'm saying. They personal. I don't talk about people's personal moment. I won't do that. But I would have to say, during that period of time, and even now in my life, I've been a father, a friend, an uncle, a brother, a pastor, a minister. And so to give credit to one person will be a discredit to all those moments that I shared.
Because it was so, there's some, who do you still talk to some of the artists from?
All of them. I just saw Meth at a show, and, you know, we spoke of, we need to have a moment, me, him, and Red. So we're trying to work on that right now.
Do they get excited to see you, or is it just like, oh, it's Kev?
No, it's excitement because
you don't see each other much, or
maybe once a year. Mm. I was just with Dougie and Slick Rick. I remember when the Impact Conference used to happen back in the day.
Classic.
We put a stage in the middle of the show, and it was the return with the first time that Dougie and Slick would do Lottie Dottie. You know, because I did a live version of Lottie Dottie on I think one of the albums, mm-hmm. And I remember that moment. And it was a teary moment, you know what I mean, to see that happen right there for them to come back and do it. And, of course, they've done it a lot of times after that. But I love everybody, man. And I want my legacy to be you can lead with love, you know what I mean? You know, and you could treat people like you want to be treated, know the difference between right and wrong, and make sure whatever book you read, whatever religion, that your spirit, you know, leads first. So that's what we all share amongst them, and hopefully they'll say great things about me, similar to Russell. I'm just here to serve.
By the way, I thought he was gonna say you just lead with tweed based on your jacket. It's a lovely jacket. It's not a tweed.
Ted Baker. I work hard on how I look. So
you do have a nice. You have put together a nice tone. What was your all time highest weight, by the way?
324 pounds.
You did surgery. Or you worked it off.
Surgery. Well, both.
Both. You had to do work afterwards.
You have to do both.
Right. Guys, this beverage, the 40-40 Club, this beverage is amazing. It's at Walgreens.
Why don't you drink the Mariah one? Would you try it?
I'm a man. I drink the man's version. That one's pink. I drink the orange version.
Right.
The pink one's delicious also? Really?
Listen, you try it.
All right, I'll take it.
What is this?
Take it home to your wife.
I will.
It's another tea blend. Yep.
Just a tea blend. We're going to talk about this. I think we should do. I think we should go into business with these guys. I think we should add another blend. 40-40-40.
How much does Juan or Dez have to do with this?
It's their beverage company.
Okay, so we're in.
We're in? Like Flynn? Juan Epstein?
OG Juan is my Kevin Lyles to Big Cat. Okay?
Wow.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's very, very true.
I mean, OG Juan is not as... He's more like, yeah, whatever. Let's do whatever.
It's whatever. You want to yell about baseball?
Right.
All right, Kevin Lyles, it's a pleasure. I've always respected what you've done in the game.
Can I see them real quick?
Always been a gentleman. A lot of people are douchebags. Some of which you worked with, and I like. But
I'm not pushing this now. This is old. But get Kevin Lyles' book.
Okay, what's it called?
Oh, I forgot the name.
Make it happen.
Make it happen.
Did it in 2005.
Very inspiring.
Really?
Huh?
Did it in two. Here's the thing. So I want to tell you that I'll make the announcement.
2005?
Here. 2005. I put out Make It Happen. Make It Happen, Hip Hop Generation Guide to Success. I wanted
to
give us something in the libraries and now, of course, in iBooks, eBooks, Amazon, whatever, for people to say you can come from hip hop culture and understand.
I did not know how to go.
And so I'm celebrating 10 years next year. So I'm doing a 10-year anniversary book. It's called Make It Happen, The Transformation. I'm going to talk about the transformation of the music business, transformation of technology.
Same book, but added on, or new book?
New book. Transformation of myself from big to
small. All the transformations you've taken on.
Any transformation that has happened, I'm going to speak about even what you guys are going through at radio. You know, you guys are in a transformation period because people
tell me about it.
It's an on-demand thing.
Sife, you've transformed from someone who talks to someone who sits silently in a cage.
Right. I'm talking to somebody who used to get a nice chunk of change to somebody who's like,
and you've transformed into a homeless person. That's what's happening. How often do people come up to you and call you Russell Simmons?
Every day.
Hold on, literally every day of your life?
Every day of my life.
Do you think it would happen to him, Sife?
Take no offense.
Russell, to me, was the first time that I thought that in hip-hop I could monetize it. I mean, he was. I remember that he had the sweatshirt on. I think it was Grambling or one of those sweatshirts, and sitting on a Rolls Royce on black cover Black Enterprise.
What is your go to response when someone calls you Russell?
Yeah, you have to have. Yo, Russell, what's up?
God bless you. I'm not him.
I'm not him.
God bless you. I'm not him.
So, but do you think people would say it to him even if he wasn't? Like, is it because they associate him with him, or is it just physically that they look similar?
I think it's 30 years. That's all time.
Yeah,
30 years. If I was in Baltimore, they would never, you know, make the comparison. If I never came to New York,
right?
30 years with one of my best friends, the guy that was one of my best men at my wedding,
right?
The guy that.
Well, the only difference is, of course, is that you speak like a gentleman. He is a foul-mouthed heathen. Russell curses every other word out of his mouth.
You kind of could say you look alike, you know.
Yeah, then they look similar.
Same color, same tone. People, like, to me, every day, Ayo, Rosenberg!
Every day.
Do I look Jewish?
What about
that's my first response. Do I look Jewish? Do I look Jewish? Yo, that's what I want to know.
I got to say this. I'm sorry. It's a little bit.
I can't say, do I look black?
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like,
and I got to say this in closing, even though it's slightly awkward. I don't know if you remember, but that moment we just had at Summer Jam when we were talking to Kevin and some random douche who's backstage just trying to mingle. We don't know how he gets there. Is talking to us and we're talking to Kevin.
I don't really
pay attention
remember.
To him. You will. And he goes, Kevin says something. That guy goes, yo, we don't really know who you are, but whatever.
Well, I don't remember that.
And then Seif, I don't know if you heard what Seif did.
No,
Seif turns to him and goes, yo, you just played yourself. And you don't even remember that. You pointed in his face and were like, you just played yourself. And I was like, that's Kevin Lyles. That was it. Kevin Lyles, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for doing this.
Bless you.
Talk soon.